string of the words, as Lux Radio Theater put it out in 1943, I think it was. Was it 47? I'm usually 4 years behind anyway. This is a very talented group of people, and we appreciate them lending us their talents. You'll hear their names when we finish up tonight. They come from all walks of life and all different backgrounds, and they have absolutely thrown away their lives to come here and do this for us because it's the busiest time of year, and we appreciate it from each and every one of them. And for the library for allowing us to be here. If you feel so moved that you'd like to make a donation to the Mount Airy Public Library based on what you've seen, I think they'd gladly accept it. Because no library is ever going to look at you and say, "Nah, we got enough money. It's okay." They're never going to say that. I know. I'm going to give my wife 5 minutes here to do her commercial messages before we start. Thank you for being here, and we hope you enjoy the show.
All right. You should see a survey in or near your chair. Please, if you have a chance, fill that out for us. We need to get some of these filled out and sent back to our home office in Elkin. So please take a second to fill that out before you leave and just give them to me as you're heading out the door, please. I want to let the kids know that on Monday at 4 o'clock, we're going to have a craft class for kids, and all these events that I'm telling you about are free, so please take advantage of them. On Tuesday, this is the big one, guys, Tuesday at 4 o'clock, be here for Christmas storytelling. Santa Claus is coming, and we're going to have milk and cookies with Santa. And I have it on good word that Santa is going to be bringing the library a dollhouse, and we can put it in the kids section. So please make sure that you're here for that. Don't miss it. I want to let you know that for adults, we're having an adult coloring class starting in January. Be here on Thursday nights at 6 o'clock. I will have colored pencils, magic markers, pages to color, and come and enjoy. I'll have some soothing music on. We'll be creative. We'll relax, meet some new people, color a bit, and Pages, Books, and Coffee will be here with hot drinks to sell. So take advantage of that, and we will just enjoy ourselves that night. If Santa Claus, speaking of which, happens to bring you a Kindle, a Nook, or other device that you can download library books on, come see me on Monday, January 4th, anytime between 4 and 6 o'clock. I will be here. Any of us can help you, but I will be here specifically that night to help you learn how you can get a library card and download free books on your electronic device. Then, in January, every Tuesday at 4 o'clock, and including the first Tuesday in February, I'm having my Young Actors Workshops again. They're for kids age 7 to 18, and we're going to be performing the play Invaders from Planet Y. So keep that in mind. This is all free. Then for my Deweys, which is my teen theater group here, and you have to be ages 12 through 18 to be a Dewey. We are going to have auditions for an Easter play, which we've not done before. We're going to have an Easter play audition on Wednesday, February 3rd at 4 o'clock. I have other activities coming up for teens and for adults. Always look at the table behind the front desk. That's where we keep all of our flyers and handouts for the next programs that are coming up. So take a look at that table anytime you come in. All right, I need to get programs in the hands of anybody coming in that didn't get a program. All right. So are we clear? Surveys, hand them to me before you leave. Check that table out at the front desk before you go to check out any events going on. And we're ready.
1 minute. Seconds. And
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Live from the Mount Airy Public Library, members of the Dewey Decimal Players and Nonsuch Playmakers proudly present Merry Christmas, George Bailey, the original 1947 Lux Radio Theater production based on Frank Capra's holiday classic, It's a Wonderful Life. Our story will begin after this message. What's happening in libraries today?
I know. They're
more about doing than borrowing, more about connecting than simply plugging in. Whether you want to get involved in your community, find a job, start a business, get good information, or simply be entertained, your library card is the key to opportunity. Libraries are life-changing. Visit your library and find out more, or visit nwrl.org.
I was going to say that. You interrupted me.
Sorry, I can't help myself. I love libraries. They're wonderful.
Welcome back to Merry Christmas, George Bailey. To present this production, we have to go back into another era, a time when radio drama sparked the imagination of the entire country. We are going to make that journey with the help of our musical director, Jane Tesh. So now, come with us to the golden age of radio as we proudly present Merry Christmas, George Bailey.
Tonight we bring you the story of a typical American. Might be you, might be me. It's the story of George Bailey, citizen of Bedford Falls, New York. More than anything else, George wanted to see the world, the wonderful, exotic world that lay somewhere beyond the limits of his own hometown. Oddly enough, this story doesn't begin in Bedford Falls. In fact, it doesn't begin anywhere in this world. It begins in heaven, where Joseph, the superintendent of angels, has summoned an apprentice angel named Clarence.
Am I really going down to Earth, sir? Oh, how splendid.
Yes, Clarence, there is a very discouraged man down there. His name is George Bailey, and at exactly 10:45 p.m. Earth time, he'll be thinking seriously about throwing away his greatest gift.
Oh, no. His life?
Yes, Clarence, his life. Your job is to stop him if you can. Now, please sit down so I can tell you all that you need to know about George Bailey.
Sir, if I should accomplish my mission, may I perhaps get my wings? I've been waiting over 200 years now, and, well, people are beginning to talk.
Clarence, what's that book you have there?
Oh, it's The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, sir. I was reading it when you sent for me.
Oh, fine book. Excellent. Well, you do a good job on George Bailey, and we'll see about your wings.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Now, listen carefully. When George Bailey was a boy, two events occurred that you should keep in mind. One was when his younger brother, Harry, fell through the ice and almost drowned. George saved him.
Brother fell through ice. George saved him. Got it.
And ever since, George has had a bad ear. All that icy water, you understand.
A bad ear, yes, sir.
The other event came a few months later. George was working after school at Mr. Gower's drugstore. One day, Mr. Gower received a telegram informing him that his only son had died of influenza. It was a terrible blow, and poor Gower tried to drown his grief in whiskey.
Where have you been, George? Miss Blaine has called twice. What happened to her prescription? You lost it, didn't you?
No, Mr. Gower, I have it here, sir.
Why, you good for nothing? Don't you know the Blaine girl is very sick?
Ow! Mr. Gower, my ear. You're hurting my bad ear.
I'll teach you to loaf, you lazy brat.
Mr. Gower, you don't know what you're doing. You put something bad in those capsules.
Shut up!
I know you feel bad. I saw the telegram about your son. But look at the bottle, Mr. Gower. It's poison.
Poison?
Please don't hurt my bad ear again, Mr. Gower.
Poison? Oh, George! George!
I won't ever tell, I promise.
Well, Clarence, that was George Bailey as a boy. When he grew up, he wanted to go to college, but there just wasn't the money. So he worked 4 years in the Building and Loan Association.
Building and Loan Association?
Oh, I forgot to tell you. George's father was in the building and loan business. He and George's Uncle Billy, they had high ideals, but low bank accounts. Anyways, George worked for his father and saved enough to see him through the university. That summer, he planned to go to Europe. He got a job on a cattle boat to do a little traveling before college.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. It's hard to believe that this is my last meal in the old Bailey boarding house.
Yep, we're sure going to miss you, George.
Yeah, well, I'm going to miss you too, Pop. Hey, what's the matter? You know, you look a little tired.
Well, I had another tussle with Henry Potter today.
I thought when you put him on the board of directors that he'd ease up on you a little.
So did I.
I just can't understand a man like Mr. Potter. I mean, he can't begin to spend all his money.
Well, I guess Mr. Potter owns just about everything in Bedford Falls, except our building and loan. That's why he hates us.
Hey, George, can I borrow your tuxedo socks?
Yeah, Harry, help yourself.
Where are they, your suitcase?
Nah, I'm not gonna need any tuxedo on that cattle boat, you know.
Where'd you get that suitcase, anyway?
Oh, Mr. Gower gave it to me as a going-away present. You know, one of these days, you're gonna see that suitcase covered from top to bottom with travel stickers. It's gonna have Italy and Morocco and Samarkand.
Sounds like you're gonna have a pretty full summer, George.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have a pretty full life.
Hey, why don't you come to the dance tonight?
What, and be bored to death?
You couldn't want a better death. Lots of pretty girls there. Speaking of which, I gotta hurry.
I wish we could send Harry to college with you, George.
Oh, now we got that all figured out, Pop. Harry's gonna take over my job at the building and loan, work for 4 years just like I did, and then he's gonna go to school.
Oh, he's pretty young for that job.
Oh, he's no younger than I was.
Well, maybe you were born older, George.
Huh?
George, when you get out of college, I don't suppose you'd consider coming back to the building alone.
Ah, no, Pop, I just couldn't do that. I couldn't face being cooped up for the rest of my life in that shabby little office. Oh, I'm sorry, Pop. I didn't mean that. It's just that this business of nickels and dimes and, you know, I'd go crazy. I want to do something big. I want to do something important.
Well, you know, in a small way, we are doing something important. In that shabby little office, we help people figure out how they can own their own home.
Oh, I know that, Pop, and I wish... It's just that I feel like... Well, if I don't get away, I'm just gonna bust!
Yeah, all right, boy. You go get yourself an education and get out of here.
Hey, Pop, you want a shock? I think you're a pretty great guy.
Well, thanks, George. I'm glad to hear it. Look, why don't you go to Harry's dance? You'll have a good time.
Oh, no, I don't know. Well, maybe I will drop in. Yeah, maybe I will.
So, George Bailey went to the dance. Is that important, Joseph?
Well, it was at the dance that George met Mary Hatch.
Oh.
And 3 hours later, he was walking her home. George and Mary were feeling pretty good, Clarence. In fact, they were feeling wonderful.
Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? Come out tonight. Come out tonight. Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? By the light of the moon.
That was really great.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, it was like a beautiful organ or something. Ah, gee whiz. You know, if it wasn't me talking, I'd say you were the prettiest girl in town.
Well, why don't you say it?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I will. Say, how old are you anyway?
18.
18.
Too young or too old?
No, that's just about right. It sort of suits you. Hey, look where we are.
Oh, it's the old Granville house.
Yeah. I gotta throw a rock.
Oh, no. No, George. I love that old house.
Oh, don't you know about deserted houses? You make a wish, then you throw a rock.
Oh, but George, it's such a lovely old place. I want to live there someday.
You want to live in there? I wouldn't live in that. No, not as a ghost. I wouldn't live in that. Now, just watch this. Here we go.
Good shot.
How about that? I guess I broke that window, didn't I?
Well, what did you wish for, George?
Well, I don't know. I mean, in fact... I didn't just wish for one wish, I wished for a whole hatful. Mary, I'm going to shake the dust of this crummy little town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world. I'm going to see Italy and Greece and the Parthenon and the Colosseum, and then I'm going to come back here and I'm going to go to college and work real hard, and I'm going to build things. I'm going to build airfields and skyscrapers 100 stories high and bridges a mile long, and then, well, hey, now, Mary, what is it you want? I mean, do you want the moon? Do you want the moon, Mary? Because all you got to do is say the word and...
Okay, the moon.
Okay.
I'll take it. Then what?
Oh, then what? Well, you could swallow it, see, and it dissolve like an aspirin, and the moonbeams would shoot out of the tips of your fingers and the ends of your hair, and... am I talking too much?
Yeah, why don't you kiss her instead of talking her to death?
Kiss her, huh? You really think I should?
Youth is wasted on the wrong people.
Hey, you just come back here. You want to see some kissing? I'll show you some kissing that'll make your eyes pop. That's what I'll do.
Ah!
George.
Hey, Uncle Billy, look here. I'm going to kiss Mary Hatch. You want to watch?
George, you've got to come with me. Your father's had a stroke.
What? What?
George, come on. We got to hurry.
Oh, Mary, I'm sorry. I've got to go.
Our holiday production of Merry Christmas, George Bailey will continue after these important words.
Hey, Cabri, answer this. Can you name the one place where you have access to nearly everything on the web and in print, and even have personal assistants to help you find what you're looking for? It's right in your backyard.
Well,
it's the library.
The library?
That's right, the library. The Mount Airy Public Library wants you to know that libraries have always been places for self-education and self-help. Today, they're at the forefront of the information age. Come see what's new at your library.
We now return you to our holiday production of Merry Christmas, George Bailey.
Well, Clarence, George and Uncle Billy rushed to the hospital, but George's father died from stroke that night. So, of course, George didn't go to Europe, and that fall, just as he's getting ready to leave for college, the building and loan held a meeting. They were going to appoint a successor to George's father.
What's that? What's that you said, Mr. Potter?
I said that as long as Peter Bailey is dead, let's dissolve the building and loan. The town doesn't need it.
Hey, now wait a minute.
No, you wait a minute. Peter Bailey was not a businessman. Ideals without common sense can ruin a town. What do we get? A discontented, lazy rabble instead of a thrifty working class.
Now hold on there, Mr. Potter. Just hold on a minute.
You know I meant no disrespect, George. I was just...
Now just a minute. Why my father ever started this cheap, penny-ante building and loan, I guess I'll never know. But just remember this. That rabble you're talking about does most of the working and paying and living and dying in this community. Is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath? Now, my father didn't think so. People were decent human beings to him. But to you, you warped, frustrated old man, they're cattle. Well, in my book, Mr. Potter, he died a much richer man than you'll ever be.
I'm not interested in your book, George. I'm talking about the building and loan.
You're talking about something that you can't get your fingers on. Well, this town needs a measly one-horse institution like this if only to have some place where people can borrow a few dollars without crawling to you. Come on, Uncle Billy, let's get out of here.
What happened, George?
Boy, oh boy, Tilly, you should have heard George.
Yeah, well, they're voting us out of business in there.
Who cares? I can get another job. Will you get out of here, George? You missed your boat to Europe. You want to miss college, too?
George, we've just voted Potter down. You're still in business.
Whoopee! You hear that? We're still in business.
There's one condition, George. They've appointed you to take your father's place.
No. Well, see, I'm going to college, and look, this is my last chance. Now, Uncle Billy here, he's your man.
George, you've got to take it. They'll vote with Potter otherwise.
I know. George did not get to college.
That's right, Clarence. He gave his college money to Harry instead.
But what happened to that good-looking girl? You know, Mary.
Oh, George saw her from time to time, not very often, though, because she went away to college, too. So George had to wait 4 more years for Harry to come back and take over the building and loan. He still had his dream of seeing the world, except when Harry came home, he wasn't alone. There was a girl with him, his wife.
George?
I'm out here on the porch, Mother, just trying to get some air.
Well, how do you like your new sister-in-law?
She's swell.
Looks like she can keep Harry on his toes.
Yeah, and keep him out of Bedford Falls.
What do you mean?
Ruth's father offered Harry a wonderful job up in Buffalo.
Buffalo? Well, then that means that you...
Yep.
Oh, George. Say, did you know that Mary Hatch is back from school?
Oh, yeah?
Nice girl, Mary.
Uh-huh.
Oh, stop grunting, George. Give me one good reason why you shouldn't give Mary a call.
Sam Wainwright. Sam's crazy about Mary.
Well, she's not crazy about him.
And how do you know that? Did she discuss it with you?
Besides, Sam's away in New York.
And all's fair in love and war, eh?
Well, now, no, George, I'm not saying that.
I know, Mother. I think that I'll just have to go out and I'll find that girl and I'll just do a little passionate necking and...
Oh, George, just stop that.
Well, good night, Mrs. Bailey. Oh, by the way, you want any books from the library?
The library? George, you go see Mary. Do you hear me? You go. Library, goodness sakes alive.
George, is that you out there?
Oh, hello, Mary.
Are you coming in?
Well, see, I just happened to be passing by here.
Oh, I thought you were picketing. Have you made up your mind?
About what?
About coming in. Your mother just phoned. She said you were coming over.
Oh, no. My mother just phoned? Well, why would she call here? I just happened to be passing by, that's all.
Well?
Well, I'll come in for just a minute. Fella can't even go out for a walk these days without somebody just... well, when'd you get back?
Tuesday.
Uh-huh. And where'd you get that dress?
Do you like it?
Yeah, it's all right. I still can't understand why my mother called you. I didn't tell her I was coming over here, you know that.
Well, would you rather leave?
No, I wouldn't want to be rude like that. I'll just sit down here for a little while.
It's nice about your brother Harry getting married, isn't it?
Well, yeah, sure it is.
Don't you like his wife?
Of course I like her. She's a peach. She's swell.
So it's just marriage in general you're not enthusiastic about?
No. Marriage is fine for a lot of people. It's all right for Harry and for Sam and you.
Mary, who's down there?
It's George Bailey, Mother.
What's he want?
I don't know. What do you want?
Me? I don't know. I don't want a thing. I just came in to get warm.
He's making mad, passionate love to me, Mother.
Well, you just tell him to go right back home. Sam's calling you from New York tonight, isn't he?
Yes, I guess so. Would you like to hear some music, George?
Well, sure. You know, your mother needs to... I didn't come here to look.
Why did you come here then?
I don't really know then. Look, you're supposed to have all the answers. Why don't you tell me?
Why don't you just go home then?
Well, I will. I don't know why I came here in the first place. Good night then.
Good night.
Telephone, Mary.
The way you're shouting at me, George, it seems like... I mean, one would think that...
One would think what?
Mary.
All right, I'll get it. George, on your way out, turn off that phonograph.
Oh, it'd be my pleasure. It's a doggone crazy song anyway.
Hello?
Hey, y'all.
Sam.
Mary, gee, it's good to hear your voice.
I was just talking to an old friend of yours, George Bailey.
Well, put him on. I'll talk to him, too.
Wait a second. George, he wants to talk to you.
He doesn't want to talk to George.
He does so, Mother. He asked for him.
Well, why'd you call me? I mean, I'm in a hurry here.
Sam wants to talk to you.
Well, hiya, Sam.
Tell Mary to get on the extension upstairs.
He says for you to get on the extension upstairs.
I can't. Mother's on the extension.
I am not.
We can both hear from here, George. Just put your head a little closer.
You both there? Listen, I have a big deal coming up that's going to make us all rich. George, remember that time you told me about making plastic out of soybeans?
Yeah, I remember.
Well, Father's checked into it, and he's going to put up a factory. How do you like that?
A factory, huh?
And here's the point, George. I may have a job for you. That is, if you're not still married to that broken-down building and loan. And Mary?
I'm here, Sam.
Listen, you tell that guy that I'm giving him the chance of a lifetime.
Just give me that phone, will you?
Here's George again, Sam.
Now you listen to me, Mary Hatch. I don't want any plastic, right? I don't want any job, and I don't want to get married ever. You understand that? I know what you're trying to do. You're going to try and trick me, aren't you? You're going to try to trick me, and then you're going to
George!
Think...
George!
Oh, Mary, darling, I love you.
Our holiday production of Merry Christmas, George Bailey will return after these messages. What is it, honey?
Teacher says I have to do a book report.
When is it due?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Your child's research paper is due tomorrow. You have no idea what you bring to tonight's dinner party, and you could really use some help in deciding about that new car you're thinking of buying. Where do you turn?
How about the library? We at the Mount Airy Public Library remind you that whether what you need is in print or online, the library will help you find what you're looking for. Everything you want to know about everything you want to know at your library.
We now return you to our special holiday broadcast of Merry Christmas, George Bailey.
Well, Joseph, so George Bailey and Mary Hatch got hitched, right?
Yes, Clarence, George and Mary finally got married, and they started off their honeymoon in Ernie Bishop's taxicab.
Hey, where are you two going on your honeymoon, huh?
Well, we got $2,000, Ernie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we're gonna shoot the works. We got a whole week in New York.
Yeah?
A whole week in Bermuda. That's right, the highest hotels, the coldest champagne, the hottest music. And I got the prettiest wife.
So you're finally getting out of Bedford Falls, huh? Then what?
After that, who cares?
Oh, you know, I think I ought to just kiss you.
Hey, George, there's something funny going on over there at the building and loan. If I was a betting man, I'd say it looks like a run.
Hey, pull over here a minute, will you, Ernie?
Yep.
George, let's not stop, please.
No, wait a minute. I just want to see what's going on. I'll be right back.
George, please. George!
Poor George Bailey. He's certainly in desperate trouble, Joseph. I'll go to him at once.
No, you sit down, Clarence, sit down. George and Mary had just started out on their honeymoon when they ran smack into the financial panic of 1932. In the waiting room of the building and loan, 100 frantic people were clamoring for their savings.
Well, Uncle Billy, what's happened? All those people out there.
Oh, we're in a pickle, George, a real pickle. All I know is that the bank called in our loan an hour ago, and we had to hand over all our cash.
Holy mackerel.
We got to close up, George. Lock the doors.
Well, our charter says we have to stay open till 6 o'clock.
How can we stay open without any money?
Oh, I got to go out and talk to those people. Come on.
Hey, George, how about our money? Where's our money?
Oh, hey, now come on, folks, come on. Oh, just calm down. Wait a minute. Quiet, please. Listen to me. You see, your money's not here. Oh, now hold on. Your money, it's in other people's houses. See, it's in the Kennedy's house, and it's in the McLaren house, and it's in your house, and in 100 other houses in Bedford Falls. What are you going to do? Foreclose on all those families? On your neighbors?
I've got $242 in the Bailey Brothers shares. Now let me have it.
All right, Charlie. You'll get your money in 60 days.
In 60 days?
Yep. That's what you agreed on when you bought your shares.
Hey, I got my money. Old man Potter's taking over the bank, and he's paying 50 cents on every dollar.
Oh, folks, I beg you, please don't do this. Don't you see? If Potter gets a hold of your shares, he'll control the building and loan. He's got the bank. He's got the department stores. He's got the bus line. Now he's after us. And why is that? That's because he wants you living in his shacks and paying the kind of rent he decides to charge. Now we can get through this, all right? But we've got to stick together. We've got to have faith in one another.
But my husband's out of work. We need money.
I got doctor's bills to pay.
I can't feed my kids on faith.
Yes.
George!
Oh, Mary.
We still have our money. How much do you need?
Oh, but Mary, that's for our... Oh, you're wonderful. You know that. All right, now just hang on for a minute, folks. Look, I got $2,000 here. Charlie, how much do you need?
$242.
Come on, Charlie, please. Now, just enough to tide you over.
I said $242.
Okay. Uncle Billy, give Charlie $242. Now, Ed, how much do you need just to get by?
Well, I was kind of hoping that, I guessed $20 will do just fine.
Okay, now we're talking. Here's your $20 for Ed. Mrs. Thompson, how about you?
Can I get $17.50?
Can you get... Oh, Mrs. Thompson, you're beautiful. $17.50. All right, who's next? Hey, look at the clock. We've got 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. 6 o'clock, we made it. Tilly, lock the door.
Yes, sir.
We're still in business, Uncle Billy.
I saw it with my own eyes, and I still can't believe it.
And looky here. We still got $2 left. Tilly, put these beautiful simoleons in the safe. May they be fruitful and multiply.
Hello, Bailey Brothers. George, there's a call for you.
I'll take a message, will you, Tilly? Then call my wife. She's probably over at my mother's.
Mrs. Bailey's on the phone.
No, I don't want to talk to Mrs. Bailey. I want to talk to Mrs. Bailey. Oh, Mrs. Bailey. Oh, that's my wife. Give me the phone here now. Oh, Mary. Hello. Oh, I'm really sorry that I was... What? Well, come home. What home? 320 Sycamore. Well, who lives there? Well, we do. But how can that... Well, sure. I'll be right there. Mrs. Bailey.
Clarence, guess what 320 Sycamore Street was?
His mother-in-law's house?
No, number 320 Sycamore was the old Granville house. The same one that George threw a rock at. Where George and Mary made their wishes. And that's where they spent their honeymoon. And that's where they set up housekeeping. And they were still there 2 years later when old man Potter asked George to stop over at his office.
Sit down, George. Have a cigar.
Why, thank you, sir.
I get those from Cuba. Best money can buy. Now, George, you're a young man, married, making what? $40 a week at the building and loan?
$45.
Now, if you were some ordinary yokel, I'd say you were doing fine. But George Bailey is intelligent and ambitious, and he hates the building and loan almost as much as I do. And he's been dying to get out of town since he was a kid. But he's trapped. Trapped into frittering his life away, playing nursemaid to a bunch of garlic eaters. Do I paint a correct picture, George, or do I exaggerate?
What's your point, Mr. Potter?
My point is that you are the only man in this town who has stood up to me. George, I want to hire you to manage my affairs. I'll start you off at $20,000 a year.
$20,000? $20,000? Are you sure you're talking to me? George Bailey.
Yes, I mean George Bailey, whose ship has just come in, provided he has the sense to climb aboard.
Oh, but wait a minute. What about the building and loan?
Oh, forget the building and loan. Confound it, man. I'm offering you a 3-year contract at $20,000 a year. Now, is it a deal or isn't it?
Well, no. The answer's no, doggone it. I won't walk out on the building and loan and all those people who are counting on me just to play stooge for you. That's your problem, Mr. Potter. You think you can buy anything and anybody you want. Well, you're not buying George Bailey. I don't care if you offered me $1 million a year. You can keep your 3-year contract and your Cuban cigars.
Think about what you're saying, George.
I don't need to think about it. Good night, Mr. Potter.
George, I've been waiting up for you. What did Mr. Potter want?
Nothing. He's just talk, you know? Geez, Mary Hatch, why'd you marry a guy like me?
To keep from being an old maid.
I mean, I was gonna see the world, wasn't I? And I was gonna build things, and I was gonna give you the moon, remember? What have I given you? Nothing. Not even a new dress. I feel awful about that.
So do I. Especially in the morning.
You could have married Sam Wainwright, you know. Now, Sam's a big success now. You could have married any man in town.
I didn't want to marry Sam or anybody else. And I want my baby to look exactly like you.
Yeah, but we didn't even have a honeymoon. And I promised you that... You're what?
My baby.
You're... Oh, Mary, you mean you're sitting on the nest? But how? Well, no, wait a minute. I know how, but I just can't believe you and me. Oh, holy cow, we're going to have a baby.
Well, Mary did have a baby, Clarence, a boy.
You don't say.
Then she had another one, a girl.
A baby girl.
Night after night, George would come home late from the office. Things weren't so good at the building and loan. Potter was really bearing down hard on George. Then came the war, and Mary had another baby by then.
Oh, they were very busy.
But she still found time to help out at the USO. George's Uncle Billy sold war bonds. Cousin Tilly organized scrap drives. George's brother Harry became a fighter pilot and a real hero. He shot down 15 planes.
What about George?
George was 4F, his bad ear, you know. But he became the air raid warden for Bedford Falls, and on VE Day, he wept and prayed. And on VJ Day, he wept and prayed again.
Well, we're getting pretty close to today, aren't we, sir?
Yes, Clarence. You know almost everything you need to know about George Bailey.
Well, I would think so.
Except what happened that finds him down there at this moment wanting to die.
Well, sir?
Today is the day before Christmas, Earth time. George is pretty excited.
Hey, Cousin Tilly, will you take a look at the newspaper? Look at that there. Commander Harry Bailey, decorated by the President. I mean, there's my kid brother receiving the Congressional Medal of Honor.
It's wonderful, George.
He shot down 15 planes, and the last one was just about to crash into a transport that was loaded with soldiers. I mean, man, you know what that means? That means that Harry saved lives. He saved hundreds of lives. My little brother did that. Gee whiz. Hey, where's Uncle Billy?
Oh, he's gone to the bank, George. He's depositing that $8,000.
Oh, good, good. Now, who's that?
It's that man again, the bank examiner.
Right. Good afternoon, Mr. Carter. Tilly, get Mr. Carter whatever he needs, will you? And as soon as Uncle Billy comes in, you let me know.
Well, well, if it isn't Mr. Potter. Hey, how do you like the news in the paper, Mr. Potter? You just can't keep those Bailey boys down now, can you?
Let me see that newspaper. Decorated by the President. That's nice, I suppose.
You can keep that one. I've got 16 copies. Sorry I can't stay and chat with you, you old thief. I gotta make a deposit here.
A terrible thing happened, Clarence. A terrible thing. Uncle Billy couldn't find the money because the envelope with the $8,000 in it was folded up in the newspaper that he gave to old man Potter.
I don't know what happened to it, George. I just don't know.
But it's $8,000, Uncle Billy. I mean, the bank examiner is sitting out there, and that money doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the depositors.
What are we going to do, George? I traced every step I took. The money just isn't there. Oh, I'm no good to you, George. No good at all.
Just try and think. Think and think.
Oh, I can't think anymore. I'm tired of thinking.
Well, where's that money, you silly old fool? God, do you know what this means? It means bankruptcy. It means scandal. It means prison. Well, if one of us is going to jail, it's not going to be me. Now get out of my way. I'm going home.
George, dear, what's wrong? You haven't said a word since you came home.
It's that banging on the piano. Does Janie have to keep playing that same song over and over?
Well, I had to practice for the Christmas party, Daddy.
Excuse me. What is it, dear? Another hectic day?
Yeah, another red letter day for the Baileys.
Dad, Murphy's got a brand new car. You should see it.
Oh, really?
Excuse me.
And what's the matter with our car? Isn't it good enough for you?
I'm sorry, Dad. I was only saying.
Excuse me.
Excuse you for what?
I burped. That's okay, Tommy. Petey, why don't you run upstairs and see if Zuzu is all right?
Okay, Mom.
What do you mean, if she's all right?
Well, she caught a little cold coming home from school today. She didn't button up her coat. The doctor said it was nothing serious.
The doctor? The doctor was here? Oh, it's this drafty old house. It's a wonder we don't all have pneumonia. Why do we have to live here in the first place and stay in this measly, crummy little town?
George, what's happened?
Everything's happened. You call this a happy family? I mean, living hand to mouth and catching cold and why do we have all these kids?
Daddy, how do you spell frankincense?
What?
How do you spell frankincense?
Well, what do you need to know that for?
Well, because it's in the Christmas play.
Well, I don't know. Ask your mother.
Welsh?
Yes, thank you. The doctor says she'll be fine by tomorrow.
Hey, wait, you give me that phone.
George, please.
Mrs. Welsh, this is Zuzu's father. Say, what kind of a teacher are you anyway? I mean, sending Zuzu home half naked in this weather? She'll probably end up with pneumonia just because of your stupidity. What? Oh, well, maybe my kids aren't the best dressed, but I'll tell you one thing right now. Hello? Hello? Oh, Janie, will you stop playing that lousy piano? Cut it out! Stop it!
George, for heaven's sake, what is wrong with you?
I'm sorry, Janie. You play whatever you want to. Mary, I'm sorry. I've just got to get out of here.
So, George Bailey is once again my guest. What can I do for you, George?
Mr. Potter, I need your help. I need a loan. I pay you any kind of interest you want on it. Uncle Billy, I misplaced $8,000.
You misplaced $8,000?
Yes.
That's not very good business, George.
I know. Look, I've got a life insurance policy, sir.
You do? What's your equity in it?
It's a $15,000 policy, but I've only got about $500 in it.
And you want $8,000?
I know it's asking a lot, Mr. Potter, but if you could just see your way to help me this once.
Why should I help you? I gave you an opportunity once, George, to make more money than you'll ever make in that pitiful little building and loan. And as I recall, you turned me down. $500. You know something, George? You're worth more dead than alive. Now get out of here. Get out.
And all this time, Potter had the $8,000 in his desk drawer. It's still there, Clarence.
That's terrible, sir. Where's George?
Well, he went over to Martini's Cafe. He's had a few drinks. Clarence, this is where you come in.
Oh, dear God. Oh, dear Father in Heaven. You know I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there, please... Oh, please just show me the way. I'm at the end of my rope here.
Mr. Bailey, are you all right? Please don't drink anymore. Don't you think you've had enough? You don't look so good.
Bailey? Did you say Bailey? Which Bailey?
That gentleman there is Mr. George Bailey.
George Bailey, huh?
Huh? Ah!
And the next time that you talk to my wife like that, she'll get worse. It isn't enough that she slaves every day teaching your stupid kids how to read and write. You have to insult her.
Hey, you get out of here, Mr. Welsh. You hit my friend. I won't have it. Get out. Get out. Mr. Bailey, are you all right?
Who was that guy?
That's Mr. Welsh, but don't you worry. He don't come in this place no more. I'll get you something for your lip. It's bleeding.
Just leave me alone, will you? Just leave me alone.
Well, George left Martini's Cafe 5 minutes ago, Clarence. He's at the river now on the bridge, looking down at the water. Are you ready, Clarence?
All ready, sir.
Very well. Save George Bailey and you'll get your wings.
My wings? Oh, thank you, Joseph. George! George Bailey! Get away from that bridge! Do you hear me? George! George!
Stay tuned for the final act of Merry Christmas, George Bailey, right after these important words.
Today's library is not what you remember. It's even better. Want to take practice tests for your next exam? Research your family tree. Take a Tai Chi class. Write a resume. Surf the web. Get homework help. Or maybe you just want to curl up with your favorite book and enjoy some peace and quiet. It's all here at your library. The Mount Airy Public Library wants you to know that libraries have always been places for education, self-help, and lifelong learning. Today, they're at the forefront of the information age, providing computers, internet access, and databases, and more. At your library, you have access to nearly everything in print and online. And you also get something else. You get the knowledge and expertise of a librarian to help you find what you're looking for. What could be better? Come see what's new at your library. It might just surprise you.
what Mr. Potter said was true, that he was worth more dead than alive, George Bailey finds himself standing on a bridge in Bedford Falls, staring at the dark and frigid waters below. Suddenly, there's a splash!
Help! Help! I'm drowning! Help! Help!
No, it's not George. It's Clarence, the apprentice angel. And there goes George in to rescue him. It's a few minutes later now. George and Clarence are in the bridgekeeper's shack, drying off.
Yeah, it's kind of cold to be swimming.
I hope you don't mind my long underwear. I didn't have time to get anything more stylish. My wife gave me this on my last birthday. I passed away in it.
You what, mister?
I see that Tom Sawyer is drying out, too.
Who?
My book. I left in such a hurry that I brought Tom Sawyer with me.
Well, how'd you happen to fall in?
Oh, I jumped in. I jumped in to save you.
You were going to save me?
Well, I did, didn't I? You didn't go through with it, did you?
Go through with what?
Suicide.
Hey, it's against the law to commit suicide around here, okay?
It's against the law where I come from, too.
And where's that?
Why, heaven, of course.
What? Well, that's funny. That's very funny.
Your lip's bleeding, George.
I got a good punch in the jaw in an answer to a prayer. Hey, how do you know my name?
Oh, I know all about you.
Well, who are you, anyway?
Clarence Oddbody, AS2.
Oh, well, what's the AS2?
Angel, second class.
All right, that's it. I'm getting out of here. You may not need a doctor, but I do.
Carry on, my good man.
Now, look here,
Clarence.
Clarence. Why is it that you wanted to save me?
Because I'm your guardian angel, George.
Is that right? Yeah, you look like the kind of angel I'd get. So where are your wings?
I haven't won my wings yet. That's why I'm an angel second class. But you can help me earn them, George, by letting me help you.
You want to help me, Mr. Guardian Angel? Well, I need 8,000 bucks. You don't happen to have 8,000 bucks on you, do you?
No, we don't use money in heaven.
Well, good for you, because it's nothing but a source of pain and anguish. You know what, Clarence? I'm worth more dead than alive.
Oh, you mustn't talk like that.
No, if it hadn't been for me, everybody'd be better off. My wife, my kids, my friends.
Oh, this is not going to be easy.
They'd be better off if I'd never been born.
What did you say?
I said I'd wish I'd never been born.
George, that's wonderful.
What's wonderful?
The idea you just gave me, George. You've got your wish. You've never been born.
I've never been born.
Exactly. No family, no worries, no building and loan, no 8,000, no nothing. You simply don't exist.
Hey, that bad ear of mine. Well, say something else into that ear, would you?
You don't have a bad ear anymore. Now try to concentrate. You're not the George Bailey you think you are.
Oh, that's the doggondest thing I ever saw. I haven't heard out of that ear since I was a kid.
Your lip has stopped bleeding, too.
Oh, you know it has. Hey, what's going on around here? I think I need a drink. What about you, Angel? You want a drink?
Well, I don't know. I
tell you what. Let's get dressed and we'll walk over to Martini's, and I'll buy you a drink. Excuse me, I'll walk. You'll fly.
No, I can't. I don't have my
wings. Yeah, I forgot about that. Well, a couple of stiff drinks, we'll both fly.
What do y'all have, fellas?
Hey, where's the boss, Nick? Where's Martini?
Look, wise guy, I'm the boss, see?
Okay, give me a double scotch, will ya?
What's yours?
Well, you know what I just love? Some mulled wine.
Huh?
Some mulled wine. Heavy on the cinnamon and light on the cloves. Off with you, my lad. Lively now.
You trying to be funny, pal?
Just give him the same as mine. He's okay.
All right, two double scotches.
Now, what's happened to this place? Where's Mr. Martini? It's all changed in here.
All of Bedford Falls has changed, George. You're having your wish. You've never been born. You're going to see a lot of strange things tonight. Oh, good. Somebody just made it.
Well, made what?
Every time a bell rings, it means that some angel has gotten his wings.
What'd he say?
Oh, never mind him. He's just a little fellow who never grew up.
Yeah. How old are you?
Well, next May, I'll be 293.
That does it. A couple of Weisenheimers, huh? Okay, out. Get out. Hey, you old rummy. Didn't I tell you to never come panhandling around here?
Hey, it's Mr. Gower. Well, Mr. Gower, don't you know me? It's George Bailey.
Buy me a drink, mister. Please, just one drink.
Pinky, throw that rummy out.
Oh, no, please.
Oh, hey, don't throw him out. That's Mr. Gower, the druggist.
That rumhead spent 20 years in prison for killing a kid. If you know him, you must be a jailbird, too. Hey, Pinky, there's two more.
Yeah. Let me help you up, George. Good thing he threw us into a snowbank.
I don't get it. What happened to Mr. Gower?
Mr. Gower doesn't know you, George. You see, you weren't there to stop him from putting the poison into that prescription.
Well, what do you mean I wasn't there? What are you, some kind of a hypnotist?
George?
Why am I seeing all these strange things?
Don't you understand? It's because you were never born.
Well, if I was never born, then who am I?
You're nobody. You have no identity.
What do you mean I have no identity?
Check your pockets. No papers, no driver's license, no 4F card, no insurance policy.
Well, I'll be. Wait a second, I've still got Zuzu's bell.
What?
Zuzu's bell. I bought my little girl a bell to put on her Christmas tree, and I put it right here in my... I've got it here, and... Well, now, wait a minute. It's not there. It's gone. It's... Well, everything's gone, isn't it?
Do you understand, George? You've been given a great gift. A chance to see what the world would be like without you.
Oh, you're crazy. You're crazy as a bedbug, and you're driving me crazy, too. I'm going home to my wife and family. You understand that? And I'm going home alone.
Stay with him, Clarence.
Oh, I will, sir. Right now, poor George is seeing Main Street the way it would be if he had never lived. The thing that shocked him most, sir, is the building and loan office. You know what's there now? It's a pawn shop.
What's he doing now, Clarence? Can you see?
He's talking to Ernie Bishop, the taxi driver. He wants Ernie to take him home.
Better stay close to him, Clarence. He's going to need you.
Oh, I will, sir. I will.
Oh, come on, Ernie. Step on it, will you? I gotta get home.
Yeah, yeah. Where you live, buddy?
Oh, now, Ernie, don't you start pulling that stuff on me. You know I... 320 Sycamore Street.
320 Sycamore. Fine.
I don't know what's happening to me, Ernie. I feel like I'm going crazy. I must have gotten a hold of some bad liquor or something. Now, you're Ernie Bishop, right? You live with your wife and kids.
Whoa. You've seen my wife?
Oh, come on now. What do you mean, have I seen your wife? I've been to your house 100 times. We built it for you, didn't we?
Look, my wife took off with the kids 5 years ago, and I've never seen you before in my life.
Okay. Just get me home, will you? 320 Sycamore. Mary? Where are you? Hey, Janie? Petey? Hey, Tommy, Zuzu? Kids? Where are you?
This is just an old abandoned house, George. You have no wife, no children.
What? What have you done with them?
All right, up with your hands.
Bert! Bert the cop, thank heavens you're here.
Look. Why don't you be just a good boy, and I'll take you to a doctor.
Oh, Bert, will you listen to me, please? God, what's the matter with you guys? It's not me. It's that fellow over there. He says he's an angel, and he's got me in some kind of a spell or something.
Okay, buddy. I hate to use my nightstick, but you give me no choice. Oh! Crying out loud!
Run, George. He can't hit you while I'm biting him. Run. My teeth aren't what they used to be. Joseph, help! Help!
Where'd he go, Ernie?
What?
That little guy, he's gone.
I don't know. He just kind of disappeared.
I'm out of here.
I'm here again, George.
Oh, Clarence. My own mother didn't recognize me. Man, if only Harry were back from Washington.
George, there is no Harry. Your brother fell through the ice and drowned at the age of 9.
Oh, that's a lie. Harry won the Congressional Medal of Honor. He saved every man on that transport.
Every man on that transport died. Strange, isn't it? Every person's life touches so many other lives. Harry wasn't there to save those men because you weren't there to save Harry. Don't you see, George? You really had a wonderful life. What a mistake it would be to throw it away.
Well, where's Mary? Please, now where's my wife?
You're not going to like it, George.
Now look, I'll choke it out of you if I have to. Where's my wife?
The library. She works there. She's just about to lock up for the night, but you mustn't. George, come back. Oh, there must be some easier way to get my wings.
Mary?
I'm sorry. The library is closed.
Now, Mary, it's George. George, honey, don't you know me?
No, I don't know you.
Oh, Mary, please.
Let go of my arm.
Oh, Mary, please, you gotta help me. I need you. Where are our kids? You gotta listen to me. It's George.
Leave me alone.
George! Clarence. Clarence, where are you?
I'm here, George.
Will you help me? Just get me back. I don't care what happens to me. I just want everything to be like it was. I want Harry to be alive and save that transport. I want the building and loan back. I want my wife and my children. I want to live.
Oh, thank you, George. Thank you.
Hey, Bert, you stay right there. If you come any closer, I'll let you have it.
What in Sam Hill are you yelling for, George?
George? Did you call me George? Bert, do you know me?
Know you? I've been looking all over town for you. Where you been?
I'm alive. I'm alive again, Bert.
Are you sure you're all right? Your lip is bleeding a little there.
Oh, well, so it is. Look at that blood there, Bert. Isn't that great?
Yeah, sure, George.
Hey, wait, Zuzu's bell. It's right there in my pocket. What do you know about that? Merry Christmas, Bert.
Merry Christmas, George. Hey, look, why don't you get in the car and I'll drive you home? I think you've been out in the cold air a little too long.
You'll take me home, Bert? You'll do that?
Well, sure.
Oh, why not? Hey, and let's turn on the siren and the lights all the way to my house. Can we do that, Bert?
You got it.
Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls! Merry Christmas, you beautiful old building and loan! Hey! Hey, Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter!
Woo-wee!
I'm home! Hey, Bert, come on in. I'll fix you an eggnog.
Well, I don't know, George. I'm on duty.
Aw, come on, Bert. It's Christmas. Oh, hey, what's all this? What are all these people doing here? Hey, these are reporters. What are all these reporters doing in my house? Well, Merry Christmas, reporters. And Mr. Bank Examiner, Merry Christmas.
Mr. Bank, there's a deficit.
I know, Mr. Carter, I know. There's $8,000 missing, am I right?
I have a warrant here. I'm sorry.
A warrant? Will you look at that? Isn't that wonderful? Hey, I gotta show this to Mary. Mary! Where's my wife? Mary!
Hey, there's Dad!
Daddy, you're home!
I sure am, Janie. Where's your mother?
Well, she went looking for you, Daddy, with Uncle Billy.
Hi, Daddy!
Oh, Zuzu, my little ginger snap. How do you feel, huh?
Fine, Daddy, not a smidge of temperature.
No, not a smidge. Oh, kids, I'm so glad to see you. I could just eat you up.
George, darling!
Mommy!
George, where have you been?
Mary, is that really you? Oh, let me look at you. Are you real? Oh, Mary, you have no idea what's happened to me.
Well, you have no idea what's happening now. They're on their way.
Oh, who's on their way? The police department, the FBI, who? I'd love to see them. I'm alive, Mary. I'm alive again.
Now close your eyes and come with me.
Oh, what is it, Mary? Well, who's out there? Oh, come on. Can I open my eyes now?
We're all ready, Uncle Billy. Come on in, everybody. George, open your eyes.
All right, coming through here.
Uncle Billy, hello.
It's a miracle, George, a miracle. Look at this, would you? A whole laundry basket filled with money for you.
Holy cow, I don't understand.
Mary did it, George. She did it all.
When your friends heard that you were in trouble, darling, they started taking up a collection. This is for you. I'm sure there's more than you need here.
I don't know what to say.
None of us would have a roof over our heads if it wasn't for you, George.
That's right. There's not a life in this room that you haven't touched in some way.
You helped us out, so we just wanted to help you out, you know?
Well, Mr. Gower, Ernie, Mrs. Thompson, Mr. Martini, all of you. Well, gosh, this is wonderful. I don't know what to say except, well, thank you all very much.
For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, which nobody can deny, which nobody can deny.
Hey, Luca just flew in, everybody. Harry Bailey! Hey.
Well, Harry, I can't believe it.
As soon as I got Mary's telegram, I came running.
Hey, everybody, how about a toast?
Yeah.
Good idea, Ernie. Here we go. A toast to my big brother, George, the richest man in town.
Oh, no, Zuzu, I didn't forget. Now just reach into my pocket there. How about that?
Thanks, Daddy.
George, where did this book come from?
What? Oh, it's The Adventures of Tom Sawyer.
There's something written in it. Look.
It says, "Dear George, remember, no man is a failure who has friends. Thanks for the wings. Love, Clarence."
Who's Clarence?
Well, he's a dear, dear friend of mine.
Look, Daddy, teacher says that every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
That's right, Zuzu. That's right. Attaboy, Clarence. Happy landings.
Tonight we recognize the voice talents of Gary Niskern, Randy Sprinkle, Noel Bryant, Paul Rezzo, Rachel Miller, Brack Llewellyn, Jane Tucker, Jane Tesh, Brian Green, Kevin Wilson, Todd Jessup, Jessica Llewellyn, Randall Simmons Jr., Ray Jones, Madison Mallory, Olivia Jessup, Cabri Jones, Hannah Lickvar, Alyssa Delaney, Abigail Carpenter, Gary Tilton, D.J. Jellison, Christy McMillan, Mitchell Wilcox, and Hope Lickvar. The Nonsuch Playmakers are happy to join the library's teen theater troupe, the Dewey Decimal Players, for this production of Merry Christmas, George Bailey. The Nonsuch Playmakers are a local community theater group founded in 2001. We do plays, storytelling, musical reviews, and drama instruction. Go to our website, nonsuchplaymakers.com, for more information, and check our calendar for upcoming events. Or find us on Facebook at Nonsuch Playmakers. Thank you for tuning in this evening, and from our groups to you and yours,
Merry Christmas!
We wish you a Merry Christmas. Please check out the flyers on the tables to make sure you don't miss any upcoming events. And if you did find a survey in your chair or near you, please fill that out and I will take them before you leave. Thank you very much. Thank you, Kat. Yeah.
Gentlemen,
well done.
Yeah.
Thanks for going back to heaven. And we have to crank up something else. We'd love to do radio for you.
Uncle Billy, great work.
You guys want to talk to me about setting up the streaming radio?
I wonder if the mic's in this.
Yeah, I've done a couple.
DJ, great job. Todd Jensen, nice to meet you.
Good job,
Joe.
Well, thank
Good job, dude. Thank you. You know, board member.
Bum, 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 bum.